How communication is thought to be cascading, like this word that's used in editorial communication, it's cascading down. So it's inherently said, it inherently means that it's top down, right? But what if communication was an infusion and not a cascade, right? Why can't information flow from both sides? And why can't internal communication professionals enable that infusion?
Hello and welcome to Master of Comms, the podcast for transformative communication straight from the pros. Over the next 20 minutes, our guest expert will share with us their professional experience in scaling internal communication operations and strategy in the journey from startup to large-scale organization. I am Krusha Sejwani, co-host of Master of Comms and Director of Asia at Sociable. And I'm accompanied by our guest for the day, Anshul Sharma, Head of Comms and PR at Shebang. Welcome, Anshul.
Hi, Krusha. Very nice to be here.
Thank you for being here. There's a lot we want to discuss today, but before we get into it, I want you to maybe take a minute and introduce yourself to the audience.
A quick introduction. I've been with Shebang for now almost over 4 years in various capacities. This is actually the first time I've taken a role in comms, culture, and PR. So I'm pretty interested in that. I've also been a founder of my own agency, so I do understand the importance of culture, scaling internal communications, clear communications. Currently, one thing that I'm really happy about is the fact that I get to work with a very large workforce of some really, really spectacular people. And that gives me a chance to really understand how internal communication can really impact business output as well.
So it's very evident even in your introduction, there's a lot of Shebang's introduction. And it is the sort of company that precedes its reputation. It does have this, for lack of a better word, a vibe. Like everyone wants to know what is the Shebang vibe, what is the ingredient, and internal comm is such a big part of it. So before we go into uncovering that, tell us more for some people who maybe have not heard of the company. What does Shebang do?
The Shebang, it's actually a colloquial term, which means completeness, right? The company is now 8 years old. And one thing that we pride ourselves in is that we understood a gap in the market, which was that brands require complete solution, or wherever they feel they're incomplete, Shebang can come in and we can provide completeness in that particular area. What I mean by that is that, okay, we started as a creative agency, an advertising agency, but now we have evolved into a marketing agency with over 1,000 people, where we do not just focus on creative, but we actually focus on driving business results for you across creative, media, and technology. What we call ourselves is the Creative Media and Technology Transformation Partner. And the vision that we started with was that we'll take the best of India to the world and we'll bring the best of foreign talent to India. That's the vision that which we started with. And we are very happy to announce that now we definitely have many offices across Mumbai, Bangalore, Delhi, but we have also recently opened offices in London, Amsterdam, and very soon Stockholm as well. There's 1,000 people plus Shebangers in the team. And yes, we do integrated marketing for our lovely clients.
That's awesome. And Shebang did have that right from the beginning, right? There was this culture, there was this communication strategy from the very beginning when it was a startup, right? And I think we can no longer probably box Shebang as a startup anymore. So now that this, 1,000 people, multiple offices, all of this has happened, how has this communication strategy evolved? Because it was clearly there from the beginning.
I would not say it was strategy. How culture trickled down from the founder, I think they were very clear. This mentality of competition between companies is not a mentality that we embody as Shebang. We are very much about collaboration and partnering with people who, do the kind of work that we also aspire to do. So from this mentality itself, bring people across the India, the best talent in India goes global, and the best talent that's working globally also comes in and enriches the culture in India. It comes across as a communication strategy because the founders have also always worked on that vision and they've always communicated that vision. And that is kind of, infused between the team. And anybody who's part of Shebang now understands that there's a vision that we are working on. And that is how it actually becomes scalable organically instead of something that had to be planted. That's the beauty of it. And that is why it sounds very organic. And when you say that, yes, you can see it across platforms, it is not by strategy. It's just actually something that has evolved into it. So yeah, very proud of that fact for sure.
I think not many companies can say that. You do have a very young workforce. Is that correct?
Yeah, the average age is approximately 23 years.
That's quite young, I would say, as an average age, right? So does that change the communication strategy in any way?
I think the strategy, honestly, is a lot of self-introspection and honest. This is something that we call brutal honesty within the system. Because one thing that happens is that when organizations scale, right? What happens is a word that's used very lightly, which is culture dilution. But how does culture dilution happen? It happens when you do not have people who are a culture fit for the company, and that is why culture dilution happens. But if you're very thoughtful about the people that you're working with and bringing into the system, it's not culture dilution, it's culture enrichment, because these are the people who are also bringing their own flavor while having the same vision for where the company is headed. So strategy, honestly, is a lot about self-introspection and brutal honesty. For us, a very interesting point is also that most of our workforce lies at the intersection of millennial and Gen Z. Clear communication is always something that should be a priority for any organization. And I feel a lot of companies forget that it's a very integral part when they are scaling. So even if 1,000 people are there, they will still value the same things, right? In the end, we as humans aspire to have a clear understanding of what the situation is, right? So that is something, while we were scaling, we faced these challenges ourselves.
We all did actually have some challenges. It wasn't super smooth right from onset. But when you were self-interested and asked yourselves, how does this scale, what was the answer?
While we scale, another thing that really happens is it becomes difficult for founders to be interacting with the young talent of the company, right? Especially at the scale at which we grew, we came across the same challenge. So brutal honesty is not just a word I'm saying very lightly. It was actually an initiative that we started internally where we talked to the young talent of the company, because we are definitely talking to the leadership. We are talking to the managers during manager catch-up, right? But what about the young talent that aspires to be when it's a manager and leadership is now after so many years, right? So how do you groom? How do you make sure that the vision is still communicated by the founder and definitely it's embodied by the leadership and management? This connection between founders is very important. So brutal honesty became an initiative where young talent got direct opportunity to sit with the founder, which is Harshal himself. And we sat with them, we understood what are the challenges they are facing, and we very specifically solved for those challenges. And because of that, we could see that even young talent then reciprocate. And how they reciprocate is that in the end, they understand that yes, management is hearing us. They're taking action. They understand what is it that is bothering us, and they are making initiatives that are going to make our growth better. We are going to get recognized. We are going to get opportunities. And this clear communication honestly solves the most part of it. Having regular town halls, making sure that people are very much aware. We have built a lot of initiatives over the last 1 year. And that is all based because we understood what is going wrong in the brutal honesty sessions. The scale, the strategy was to become as transparent in our communication as possible. And that's honestly the strategy that I will personally continue. That's something that everybody should continue overall. Because you are transparent and because you are clear and there is brutal honesty between people, you understand where the actual problems are. And because you understand where the actual problems are, you can actually solve them. Because if you're just sitting and you're assuming, those assumptions are not going to result in any tangible action taken. So you're basically just clouding your own judgment and you're making decisions for people without including them in these initiatives.
That sounds so simple when you say clear communication is the answer. But as we spoke, it's not as common as it should be in most organizations. How have you leveraged, because you also do have a very young workforce. So how does this work digitally, or does technology play a role at all, or is it very one-on-one interaction?
It's very evident that as you scale, it is impossible to scale without technology. And it's actually one of our core principles here, which is technology to simplify. For us, we keep tech at the heart of everything. And that has kind of become the driving force for our scale. We are building systems that will help us scale to even 10,000 employees and still have these systems in place and make sure that the pain points that came while we were scaling from 0 to 1,000 shouldn't happen when we are scaling from, let's say, 1,000 to 5,000 and then 5,000 to 10,000. However, we feel that with the kind of information that's made available to the teams now, And this is something we call internally as a cockpit. What we mean by cockpit is that we have business units across the company, and those business units have a specific cockpit that gives them clarity on their business results, their customer satisfaction score, their manager satisfaction score, their KPIs, their scope of work delivered. This is a meeting that happens every quarter with them, where we take them through their business performance, their team performance, their morale levels, who are the key people, who are likely to leave. So transparency becomes critical. We are using technology to make sure this transparency is scalable, as well as because we have technology at our disposal, we want to make sure that we are equipping the teams with the right tools and information to for them to make very informed decisions. That is how we are leveraging it. So as an agency, sure, we are saying that we can make your business more data-driven, performance-driven, but we are also leading on that front, and we are putting money where our mouths are. Like, basically, we are saying that we'll get the results for you, and we are making ourselves ready to be able to deliver that for you.
Thank you for detailing that out, Anshul, because I think there were so many gems there. We've spoken about challenges, but just specifically unique to what has happened with you all is I feel this growth has been very quick, right? In terms of the spiral. Has that had any specific challenges of its own when the growth is at this speed?
Definitely. I mean, see, the resistance to change will always be the biggest challenge, right? Because inertia is always there. And so solving for that is where the transparency bit came in. First was definitely, I think, the top of mind when I think about a challenge that we have to solve for was the resistance to change. Second challenge was to build transparency in the system. And sure, it sounds easy, but when you're talking about a workforce as big as 1,000 people, everybody have their own ways of working. And again, this is where the inertia part comes in, right? They have their own levels of inertia as well. It to rally everybody towards a singular vision. And that is where the transparency part comes in, because if we are transparent, at least people can then decide for themselves whether they'd like to be in the system or not to be in the system, right? That's one thing that we or any company should enable for their employees to be very clear, right? Because in the end, there's no point fooling anybody. These changes are happening. You don't have to be flowery, or you don't have to sugarcoat something that is eventually going to happen, because then you're just creating a bubble that's going to burst, and it's going to have really bad repercussions for you as a company. Definitely building transparency was a big challenge. I'm happy that we are at advanced stages of solving it. Third became because teams went hybrid because of COVID. There was reduction in human connection like you usually have in an office space, right? After COVID, we immediately had to buy a new office space. Again, we had to expand our office spaces because we wanted people to come in and be here. But we still had to retain that model of hybrid, because you still have to, you know, respect the fact that people had adjusted to that lifestyle. And also, like, it gives them that sense of work-life balance. Personally, not a big fan of the word, because it's a lot about synergy, right? Like, it's work-life synergy, because in the end, work is a big part of your life. Of course, those are different topics, but a lot of people see life and work very differently. That, okay, if I'm working, I do not have a life. That is very polarized, in my opinion. The synergy word, I feel, is a better word to use when you talk about work-life. The aftermath became that since we have such a huge workforce, so many departments, the cross-departmental bonding became a challenge, because in office, if let's say I have an idea for tech, I can just go to the tech team and talk about it. And again, we restructured because, of course, as we grew to 1,000 people, you cannot operate as a startup. So we had to bring in a layer of planning department, which is a very integral department within the team, which basically looks at a long-term growth trajectory and plan for a brand. Introducing that restructuring and communicating it to the team was definitely a big challenge that we solved last year. And that was a very, very important part. And that is where we realized that, again, you know, all in all, when I say transparency, I keep repeating the word. Everybody hearing it understands, but transparency, as an internal communications person, your role is to build transparency. Your role is to make sure that people are equipped with the right knowledge. And if you can use that as your North Star metric, any decision you take, if it's leading towards more transparency for your stakeholders across the company, you're doing a great job. as a professional is what I would say.
I love that. Great bar to set there, that out of everything that you said, if we had one key takeaway, it is transparency, right? If you had to sum it up in a line, because I think the two challenges that you spoke of right now, building transparency and specifically this hybrid model, as you said, it does have its pros and cons, but it's here to stay, right? And I think it is a challenge that most internal communication departments are struggling with, where it was offline, offline, offline. Then suddenly COVID and suddenly tech adoption and then suddenly going back to hybrid and now we're half there and half here and it's here to stay. It's not going. I know you all have done a lot of things and you've spoken about it, but if you had to sum up, you know, what your solution has been to managing this, what would you say?
So again, it starts a lot with, you know, having trust on the people that you're working with on a regular basis, because you can't say we trust you, you just need to complete your work and then introduce the software that tracks them, whether they're working or not, or whether their mouths are working or not, right? Like, you have to trust the fact. And again, that comes back, again, very easier said than done, but hiring the right people. You have to find the culture fit. And if that is not the case, this factor of not having enough trust in the system will always create an issue for teams. We know that we are working with people who we can trust and they are accountable for the work that they are doing. So again, I don't mean that you have to sugarcoat to be transparent. Transparency can be brutal as well. So if, let's say, there are certain norms that a company has to follow, that for us, let's say we said 2 days a week, you have to come to office because that is when you're meeting with your team. But what the company enabled for you is that on those 2 days, you do not decide your 2 days. Your entire team decides those 2 days and your entire team has to be in office, because then you can at least meet with your team, right? And you can work together for 2 days in a week. So as a norm, we were brutally honest with the fact that 2 days for you have to come, but the flexibility of then choosing those 2 days became something that was important, right? So you have to, your actions and words can't be different. And that is what makes your life easier when it's a hybrid communication that's happening.
That, I think that's cool. Basically, what you're in a way saying also is the hybrid model calls for a sort of hybrid communication strategy as well, where you have it half offline, you have it half tech, you have it half enforced, you have it half in terms of, you know, flexible.
Just to add here, you know, it works because the kind of work that we are doing, you have to meet people because that's where the, you know, the entire creative environment is created. Whereas for certain companies, it's not required. So whatever works for your company, you decide to do that. Like, there's no set tips and tricks for people to do. It's not very standardized. You choose what's best for your own company and organization. And what works best for your people, which should always be the goal to achieve.
That's a smart addition. You did, Anshul, right now also talk about the fact that hiring the right people, for example, then building that trust. I think it goes to show that internal communication, employee communication, it's something that basically impacts every department, right? It's not just something that impacts one. But it is, we've seen with a lot of clients, with a lot of companies, where the approach taken is not one size fits all either. Even for internal communications, how does that work at Shebang? Like, is it one person, one team in charge of employee communication? Is it centralized, decentralized, especially now that you all also have more people, more offices? How does that work?
I love the question. I always say that the entire company is my team because it's served and represented by one single team. However, it's impossible to just unanimously make this, like, not unanimously, like single-handedly making a decision for the entire company. So I'm not a big believer in that. Even when, let's say, there's an initiative like High Performance, which is the Shebang Propel program that we are building, right? For fast-tracking people to manager and leadership. I'm sitting with teams to understand how do we build this? Because the people who are going to be part of the program, if they are not part of the decision-making of how the program should be structured so it benefits them, it's not fair, right? Like, I can't just enforce something on them that's going to impact their own growth in the company. So it's being run and managed. And I think it has to happen that way because there's somebody who has to own the fact that, okay, these things need to be driven in the organization. But definitely the entire company is my team and that's how I treat it. And that's what I believe in.
I think I see that happening in the internal communication space across elements or segments of internal comm. Even if we talk about content, right? There used to be a time where the internal communication content was simply top-down, where it used to come. But now you have peer-to-peer, you have bottom-up, you have your content being created by employees, not just feedback, but actual content gems from events they attended or from their client experiences, so on and so forth. I think this trickles down to every element of internal comms today.
Yeah, Definitely. So one very interesting point that I read in one of the books I was reading on culture is how communication is thought to be cascading, like this word that's used in editorial communication, it's cascading down. So it's inherently said, it inherently means that it's top down, right? But what if communication was an infusion and not a cascade, right? Why can't information flow from both sides? And why can't internal communication professionals enable that infusion? That kind of is the role that even I embody. Because if, let's say, sure, 1,000 people do not have access to Harshal. They have access, but it's difficult to get access if necessary, because he also has a pack schedule, right? But I have that access. So can I talk to these people, understand what the problems are, and not just always communicate from the lens of, okay, this is what the company is building. So it's not always, because see, of course, the vision will always be communicated by the management and the leadership, right? However, what are the problems? What are the silos that we are operating in? You're giving them a vision, right? But they are the ones who are executing and they are facing challenges. And you cannot be deaf and blind to those challenges. If there's infusion of information, like overall understanding of where the company is going, which is, again, infusion can happen either way. It can happen sideways, it can happen top down, it can happen bottom up. That is what I really liked about that word. And I think I carry that with me. And I think that's a very, very smart thing to have as an internal communications person. Forget about cascading, but think about infusion. Like, your management should equally know about the challenges the young talent is facing as much as young talent understands the vision that the company is trying to build on.
I love that. Why can't internal communication be an infusion instead of a cascade? I think that's a nice bumper sticker for internal comm team.
Yeah.
Something you've told us a little bit about, but I just want to go deeper, because I think it's a very big topic today in internal communication, which is measurement. Right? We are very used to metrics and measurement being a key component when it comes to external communication. So whether it's social media or different forms of marketing, everything is tracked to the T today. But when it comes to internal communication, it's still fresh for a lot of companies. For a lot of companies, the extent of tracking is still restricted to a newsletter metric, right? If it's been opened or viewed. And that's about it. And it's not even an exaggeration, right? That's the case for a lot of companies still. It's now starting to evolve. So what does this look like for you? Have you all started this journey already of tracking and measuring your effectiveness of internal comms? Or how does it work?
I'll keep it short. We do have tools to measure organizational drivers, but personally, I'm not somebody who's too driven by the numbers, because in 1,000 people, sure, your initiatives can have certain KPIs, your projects can have KPIs. My job, at least as the head of culture comms, is to understand patterns, right? I definitely have my team who's regularly looking at numbers and making decisions. And of course, that's the information that's coming to me from the team. But for me, my responsibility becomes to look at patterns. And the patterns that I personally look for are that, are we, like, am I hearing good and positive things from cross-departmental teams? Is there more trust when people are talking about ideas? Is there no fear of being judged for bad ideas? Is there no fear of failing in new initiatives within the company? And many such latent patterns that, of course, can't be measured using numbers. I mean, you can try to measure it, but I don't think you should. You don't necessarily need to measure everything that can be measured. It's a good signal to look at. And signals are mostly, is what I've realized, that, you know, they are more important than numbers, because numbers you can fix, but if your patterns are going wrong, then, you know, like, you have some work to do.
The metrics, and we hear this a lot also, the metrics is interesting. It helps you kind of get those patterns, like, okay, my employees like to read at 8 in the morning and not 11 in the morning. So let's send it out then, for example, right? But at the end of the day, if you don't have, you know, some people at the back end drawing those patterns beyond those numbers to actually make change on ground, that's not going to help. A lot of our listeners, you know, when they come to this podcast, they're very used to seeing, okay, what is the problem? And then how has someone actually solved it? And how can I go ahead and do the same thing if I have a similar challenge, right? And I think you've given a lot of nuggets on, if you are in a company, you know, working on internal communication, especially in the scenario where it's a growing company, from maybe a startup scenario to a large, mid-size and then a large company, what are the many things you could do? If you had to sum it up to just 3 key recommendations for someone listening and leaving right now, that if they had 3 takeaways for this, if they were in this position, what would you recommend?
I'd like to start off by saying that, you know, you can't buy respect for the organization. You'll have to own it. And That's the reason why enabling channels where communication isn't one way is paramount. And the feedback has to keep coming in. And I would suggest if you're starting out, do this if this doesn't exist. Do this the first thing you enter the organization. Any organization you enter as a comms person, you need to enable this. Second thing I would say is don't try to bury bad aspects of your organization, right? We have this notion that organizations need to be perfect, and that is why there's a lot of dissonance when employees talk about it, because you want to create that image that an organization is perfect when it's not, because everybody has challenges. They are facing those challenges. And honestly, nobody expects you to be perfect. And that is when, again, the clear communication part comes in. But enabling a culture of brutal honesty, your job, again, becomes somebody who can identify patterns and then chart out a plan of action to actually fix those problems. You can't be scared of messing up and not working on the initiatives when you're clearly seeing the patterns going wrong. And transparency and honesty will attract people who value it. And honestly, will expose people who don't. And you definitely do not want to keep the people who are on the latter side of it. So it's definitely a win-win. Third thing, if I have to say, is please don't take things on face value. Please have the courage to hear all points of view and then make a decision, right? You have to become sharp at what needs to be communicated and even better at how. Because in the end, as a comms professional, you are the custodian of your organization's brand. If you are acting biased, then you are inherently creating more biases within the organization, because it will be very clear in your communication. And people are very smart. Don't think people don't understand. The concept of, again, Gen Z's have started to speak up. And probably this wasn't the case in previous generations. I think that is a very good thing to have, because Gen Z's are making you more accountable in a way. And I think it's a very good quality to bring in an organization. You make them accountable. If an organization is expecting that accountability, that responsibility from you, it has to be a give and take. And holding an organization to a very high standard is something that I know it makes my job hard, right? But I know it's for the betterment of the company. It's for the betterment of anybody who's working in the organization. If we as an organization can go through these tough conversations and have these difficult conversations, I know we'll be stronger than any other company that's in the market, right? So inherently, sure, like founders are not talking about competition, but collaboration increases, but also this moat increases, because this business differentiation that will happen when somebody works at Shubhang and works anywhere else, the experience is going to be extremely different and they'll stay for the culture. That's the goal. I mean, we are not perfect, and I'll be very, very clear about the fact that we have still a long way to go there.
That's the charm. I think you've put it so well, and that's what people enjoy, that the kind of transparency, since that's our word today, of not being perfect and embracing that journey and taking everyone along on that internal comm journey. Before we let you go, I kind of like asking this question to every guest we have. If you had a book or a movie that you've read or watched recently that's had an impact on you, what would it be?
Again, brutal honesty, I haven't touched a book in the last 6 months. I want to pick up the habit again. However, I keep going back to Indus. There's actually something about universe that puts things in perspective of how significant and at the same time insignificant we all are. I mean, that film, it just calibrates my comfort like no other film. I can rewatch it 1,000 times. It's become my comfort film. It's become my calibration film. I would say, like, anybody who's facing any challenges right now in life, if you find a good open space, just look towards the stars for 10 minutes and I think you'll forget about things. Just imagine the vastness of the universe and how insignificant all our problems are. But still significant, because we are living it.
It's so true. I think, yeah, nature does that too. And I think I need to go back and give this movie a shot, because brutal honesty, after the first few minutes, I was very lost and I did not give it a fair chance. But you've described it so well and I love looking at the sky. So maybe I saw it all wrong and I need to go see this movie again. Thanks, Anshul.
Thank you, Krisha.
This was Master of Comms, the podcast for transformative communication straight from the pros. Find us here for the next episode. See you soon.